Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, in these times, finding a quiet, comfortable place to do your work from home is not always easy. And we'll talk with you today about carving out a working nook for yourself and for the rest of your family. Our guest today, Della Hansman, she's an architect, has worked in custom residential design in La Crosse, Chicago, now Madison. She's designed many homes, ranging from straw-baled timber frame cottages to urban brownstones. Her business is MidMod Midwest, specializes in mid-century homes. So we'll talk with her about projects to tackle now that you're at home and how to plan for bigger ones. So what projects are you working on? Do you need some help and advice? Join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And certainly we'd love to hear from you. Della Hansman joins us by phone. Della, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hello. It's wonderful to be here.
So how are you able to work during these times?
Well, these days, a lot of architecture is very remote anyway. I work from an office in my home now as I did before. And while I love to meet with clients in person, I can do a lot of contact with them remotely. So I've been continuing to help with some of the remodel planning that's underway for some clients. No one's doing actual work right now, but it's a wonderful time to kind of plan ahead and make big picture plans for the future. So my day-to-day life hasn't changed a whole lot, except for feeling, you know, worried and checking the news all the time.
And you produce videos and podcasts as well. So you get out there a lot.
It's all very online based. So again, that kind of goes on no matter what.
You designed all kinds of homes, but you've decided to specialize in mid-century design.
Yes.
So
that started. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I've got a 1906 four-square, three-story home. Would you call that a mid-century?
Not in the slightest. No.
Okay. What is a mid-century?
Well, it's interesting because, so I got interested in mid-century design specifically when I bought a 1952 ranch house on the near west side of Madison. Ah. And I was aware of the period before and I liked it, but I wasn't obsessed with it. And then the more that I started to look into my own home's history and reach out for resources of what could I, a first-time homeowner, do to fix the house up in an era appropriate way that would be zippy and fun. And I went to the library looking for the books on mid-century homes. And I found a whole shelf on books of houses from your era of four squares. And then there's a whole shelf on, sort of cottages and how to make them cute and pretty and wonderful. But there wasn't a lot out there to help mid-century homeowners build up. But there are a lot of ranches out here like this. And I think there are a lot of young homeowners who are buying them and feeling at a loss. So that was what really kicked me off. I started blogging about it and I started an Instagram account sharing, just featuring houses around Madison in this era that I love. And then I started a podcast to give people little bite-sized pieces of advice on remodeling their ranches. And it's kind of spiraled from there.
Well, I tell you, I should have realized mid-century, 1950s, that would be about that makes a lot of sense, I guess. How much did Frank Lloyd Wright influence this architecture, do you think?
A great deal, particularly here in Madison. Well, it's funny, we say mid-century modern, but when these houses were being built, they weren't called that. They didn't really think of themselves as middle of the century. They just thought of themselves as modern. That term was actually coined in the 80s by an author of a book called Mid-Century Modern Furniture of the 1950s. But there were kind of two streams of influence coming together on this kind of ranch style mid-century era house, one of which was international modernism that was actually stirring around the time your house was built, but not hugely popular among home builders. And it was going after a kind of a clean, technology oriented, no extra ornamentation style that was very future focused. And then that, in my opinion, merged with the Frank Lloyd Wright organic architecture, which was more modest, more local focused, low sloped roofs, wide single story designs. And those two things came together. The first ranch houses were built out in California, but particularly the ones that were built in the Midwest have a super strong Frank Lloyd Wright influence. And I think in Madison particularly, we are gifted by this influence of his presence. A lot of architects who trained at Taliesin then came and set up shop here in Madison, and a lot of builders who worked both with Wright himself and with his apprentices went out on their own and built one-off houses around. And so there's all of these little gem individual houses tucked into the neighborhoods of regular builder-grade ranches that you can find if you just walk your dog around the near west side or certain parts of the east side.
Yeah. I was thinking about growing up. I grew up in my mom and dad had a home like that, single story, and was built, I believe, in the 50s as well. So I think it would be, you would consider it a mid-century home. It was a country home, but mid-century for sure. What do you think are the, well, what are the pros and cons? I can think of one pro right off the top. You know, I've got a three-story house with and a basement. So if you go from the basement to the top floor, you get a lot of exercise. but for sure. But it isn't always the best if you're carrying something heavy from one spot to the next. But what are some of the pros and cons of the mid-century?
A really nice feature of most mid-century houses, ranches specifically, is that they are, in the Midwest, they've got basements almost always, but they are generally all on one level with the main living areas. And that's very nice for things like aging in place. So you can take a family from one of the reasons, to jump back a second, that people my age, millennials, are buying these houses now is that they've been continuously occupied, in some cases by one family, since they were built. To just recently, because they were able to raise kids and then become empty nesters and age in place comfortably over a long period of time in this very adaptable, flowing style of house. So that's one nice feature they have. They tend to be fairly modest in size, which is more and more desirable, I think, today. We've come back from the McMansion more is better perspective of the early 2000s to now. People are thinking, what's affordable, what's manageable, what can I take care of easily? And mid-century houses were doing a lot with a little. They were built in a housing crisis. The early ones were built right after World War II, and people were eager to get into their own homes, but also limited as to their financial resources, and there were not enough builders and not enough materials, and so everyone was like focused on as much as they could do with a little bit, and then they would put on additions later over time and make modifications. So I think that also appeals now to a modern perspective that people want a house they can take care of pretty easily, and mid-century ranches are fairly easy to maintain. You can even do things like paint the whole outside of the house yourself because you're not having to rent scaffolding and climb up three stories into the air and that sort of thing.
And get the leaves
so
out of the gutter.
DIYable.
Get the leaves out of the gutter.
Exactly.
So what about the other side of it? Are there cons to having one?
Not everybody likes the style. I think there's an interesting quality in house styles that people tend to like their grandparents' house style better than their parents' house style. Sort of skips a generation. So people in my parents' generation, probably you as well, tend to regard mid-century as played out or dowdy, not very interesting. Whereas people who are a little bit younger think, oh, it's so retro. It's very chic. And I know that in the 80s, there was this passion for Victorian era houses and for going back to another grandparent generation. I think it also is practical. It's fun to find things in vintage stores that have been passed on by someone who's clearing their house out. And those things are available in that skip a generation policy. So I've heard this said by other people. I think one of the downsides of MCM is if it's not your taste, you can't be made to enjoy it. And so I feel like there's plenty of room for people to love it, and for other people to just leave it alone. I'm not trying to proselytize it to everyone.
Well, John from Woodville couldn't stay online, but wanted to ask about the impact of Charles Eames, is it E-A-M-E-S, and his wife,
that's right,
he and his wife's impact on mid-century modern furniture
was huge. Yes, they were iconic designers of the period, and I love reading their story because they were a team and because she was as influential, I think, as he was. It's interesting to me as a young woman architect. They designed both houses and furniture, but they were really pushing, I think, the epitome of mid-century modern design, which is making a lot out of a little bit of material and using very simple industrial materials. They worked in metal and plywood and made these beautiful, graceful forms. Which is not to say that I don't appreciate the craftsmen of, like, green and green and complex woodworking and that sort of thing. But it's interesting to see what modernists were able to do with industrial materials and still make them beautiful and human.
Another listener emailed, this is more about her home itself. She has a ranch home with an added sunroom. The sunroom is on a slab, and the patio door sticks, and she can't open it starting in November through April. She'd like to replace the door with French doors. Do you think she could use French doors without issue?
I think so. Replacing the door with anything, you could fit a slightly smaller door into the space, and that would solve. It sounds like there's been some differential settlement between the addition and the existing house or the original house. And so, yeah, probably replacing the door would, if she put a slightly smaller spec door into that space, she could solve all of her crunch problems, which are preventing the door from sliding open. Oh, that's so irritating.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at November through April.
that's quite a period of no sunroom access.
Oh, man. Chris from Adams says he's got a 1945 ranch house and says it's a good investment to keep everything on the floor if you want on one floor if you want to age in your home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. When I bought mine, I really thought of them as appealing to a younger crowd, but I have a lot of my clients are retirees who are either in their original ranch they've had for years since they raised their kids or buying one because of that age-in-place quality that it's just so easy to maintain everything on one floor.
Yeah, it makes some sense. What kinds of things are people coming to you for in the way of help? What are they looking for make change?
A couple of common things, because there's a lot of ways in which our lives are very similar to how people lived in the 50s, more so than how people lived 100 years ago. But a few things have shifted. Specifically, the kitchen has really changed, because in the 1950s, people had a pretty gender-specific idea of who should be cooking, and it was one person, it was mom. So kitchens were designed as a command center for one person to kind of practically rotate on one heel and set things on counters that were all facing walls. But now we see kitchens as more of a social space. More members of the family are likely to be cooking, and other people will want to hang out in the kitchen with a cook. So people want to change their kitchen orientation such that there's an island or a peninsula where two people can face each other and make eye contact while working at a counter surface. That's a really common thing. And to make those changes respectfully to the house, I think is possible, but it's tricky. So that's one of my fun challenges. People also, speaking of single-level living, in the Midwest with basements, laundry was usually put in the basement originally, and everyone wants to find a way to get their laundry up onto the main floor just for convenience or if they have an ability issue so as not to have to go down the stairs.
Yeah, that's something that I did with my own home. It's not a mid-century, but the laundry was in the basement, and the laundry is now on the second floor, right next to the master bedroom.
So practical. Yep, that's exactly. It's so convenient to have it where things get dirty, wash them, and put them right back there again. Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. Della Hanstrom, our guest today, Della Hanstrom is an architect who's worked in custom residential design in many places, and now in Madison. She's designed many homes. anything from straw bale timber frame cottages to urban brownstone, and now she specializes in mid-century homes. Talking with her today about home improvement projects, do-it-yourself type things, you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Rachel Vasquez, our on-air producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at easy do-it-yourself home improvement projects with our guest today, Della Hansman, architect. She works in Madison now, designs many homes. She's specializing a bit now in mid-century homes. But certainly, if you have a question for her, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You know, Della, I've got a friend who married. She's married, and they have three children, and she's at home. Her husband's at home. All three of the kids are are in school and at home, and finding a space for everybody is a bit of a problem sometimes. And I know many people are working from home these days. So what advice do you have for figuring out places to do that?
I actually just today on my own podcast talked about advice for parents who've got kids at home and how they can use design and design thinking to both work with their kids to design kids spaces and give their kids design-related activities to keep them stimulated. But I think for children and parents alike, we need to make more little spaces in our house to get away and have private time. And you can't make more rooms in your house in the middle of a pandemic, but you can make more spaces. And so I think one of the best things we can do to rearrange our homes is to think of them not as rooms, but as little areas or nooks. And there's a bunch of different contexts. You could create a corner of your bedroom as a meditation space. You could create little micro work from home office stations in several places around the house so you can move from one to another through the day as you need to change your focus. And especially for kids, they're so location oriented. When you talk about use your inside voice, kids are really good at picking up the cues of I'm in the place where I do X, Y, and Z right now. So making little stations for them to do their schoolwork, separate from where they do their playtime, separate from maybe more reading-focused activity or a more raucous physical activity, is really important. I actually put together a handy little PDF download for listeners to my podcast and for anyone listening to this right now. And you can find that if you go to my website, which is midmod-midwest.com/Larry Mueller. Or if you just go to the main website, I've got a little link where people can click. And it has examples of nooks you could create and also advice on good qualities of nooks in general.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed looking at it. We have it posted up on wpr.org/Larry under our notes section as well. And there's a lot of really cool ideas. Jill was, Nador, my producer, was taken with the outdoor space that you talk about.
Yes, for those of us lucky to have access to a yard or outdoor space, I think if you have outdoor furniture, you can create an outdoor arrangement. But if you don't, on a nice day, it's worth the effort to drag some inside furniture out and to set it up with a power, bring an outlet, so you've got charging capability because we live such device-focused lives these days. Make sure you've got a shady spot so that if you're looking at a screen, you can read it or you don't get a sunburn. And try to find a sense of enclosure. Sit against a wall or under a tree. Best of all, if you can get a corner so that you can get sort of enclosure on three sides, it makes one feel more protected and more likely to linger. But yeah, I think making the most creative space, use of our space we can. If you've got an empty walk-in closet or one that's filled with old junk, see if you can jam that stuff in the attic and make that space into a private away room. I think you were mentioning your friend who has kids at home. It's particularly important for kids to feel a sense of agency over creating their own space for them to really like it. And this is a wonderful time to engage with your children and say, you know, what would make this space feel great to you? Is it gathering all of the pillows in your room into one spot? Is it perhaps a little bit more of a DIY project? The best, easiest DIY project to take on right now is painting. It's so transformative, and it's very easy to get a hold of local hardware store and ask them to put together a paint order, bring it right out to the back seat of your car. So you can do that within the stay-home context. And it's a little skill thing. So even if you're not a real handy person, anybody can wield a paintbrush. And to paint, like paint a walk-in closet a sunny yellow color and turn it into your happy away room or your comfort space, that's a wonderful little weekend project. Or, hey, why not a Thursday project, since we're mostly home right now anyway? I really recommend, not that people need more to do right now, but if it feels helpful to have a sense of incremental progress or see something change, like give yourself permission to do a little home improvement project right now.
I have a daughter who's a junior in high school, and she has a space for her studies. And it's just, you know, she goes to that every day. It's sort of like going to school. You go to your space and sit down at your computer and work away. And I think it's good for her to have that. Okay, this is my space. Leave it alone.
Exactly. Yeah. You can use it like that. You can say, like, this is the space for one member of the household. Nobody else gets to come in without permission, maybe at all. Or to just have a space. We as humans are very tuned to social cues of our location. So to go to one place to do one activity over and over again will really cue your mind to settle in and focus there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Well, a number of callers online. Let's go to Margaret in La Crosse. Margaret, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, I'm trying to think ahead here. Are there some modifications that are recommended so that we can age in place? For example, one of the obvious ones that I'm looking at is changing my faucets to touch on and off.
Yeah.
Are there some other things that we should, you know, get done now so that we're ready?
There are a number of things that can help a house with aging in place. As I already talked about bringing laundry to an accessible spot, there's a bunch of things that can be done in a bathroom. Bathrooms of every era, but particularly built before, say, the 1970s, tend to have a narrower door than is accessible if you should ever find yourself needing a wheelchair for a while. Putting a wider door in your bathroom and maybe replacing a tub with a walk-in or a roll-in shower is a really practical age-in-place choice. And like you've already mentioned, faucets in the sink, in the bathroom, in the utility room, in the kitchen can all be replaced with wave or touch surfaces. Mm-hmm.
And thinking about the bathroom area, I know from in my folks' situation as they aged in their ranch style home, we put in bars, handrails, and so forth to getting in and out of the tub.
And
that
the ADA,
helped a lot.
The Americans with Disability Act isn't as universally applied as it should be, but it has excellent recommendations for like the most useful height and location for that kind of grab bar for showers, for next to toilets and things like that. It's really handy. I've also seen people who just at a certain point ran handles around the walls, little sort of ballet style bars around the walls in a lot of rooms so they could just more easily get from place to place with perfect safety. That's not something you need to do in advance, but bathrooms are definitely more of a invasive project that's nice to plan when it's not an emergency.
So for Margaret here, you mentioned the Americans with Disability Act. Is there an online place where she could go to look into more detail, do you think?
There certainly is, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but I would imagine Googling ADA would instantly get you a host of resources. And I know that there will be a government website, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Margaret, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Aaron in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Aaron.
Yes, hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, everyone.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm proud to announce that I took possession of my Unicorn Ranch house in Oshkosh, Wisconsin at the beginning of February. It was everything that I was looking for and more. Totally thrilled with it. And so before I forget, if you could do me a favor and maybe put on the website something that I could link to. I'm trying to find resources where I could maybe find the architectural plans for the house. That would be greatly appreciated. And regarding the topic of today, the people that built these things, you know, did amazing jobs. I mean, if you look into these homes, you see little things that they did looking towards a future. So in my open plan kitchen, for instance, somebody in the 80s had put in some, you know, cupboard spaces and done other things to it, and it was just very non-functional. And I was looking at what can I do to get, you know, more pantry space that's actually, you know, functional. And so when I tore the other stuff out, what did I find? In one of the big sections that has these bifold doors, it turns out that there's a gas line that was behind one of the cupboards that they'd put in with a shutoff valve. And I'm like, look at this. And when I pulled the thing off, the Formica countertop that they had put in was actually a desk. And I'm thinking, oh, this solves my problem right here. You know, it turns out I've got a desk. And it was originally there because they didn't retile underneath the left-hand side where the drawers of this basically built-in desk was. It even had two outlets and a cable, you know, like there had been a television there. And then in the smaller 30 by 30 closet on the left, which is adjacent to the half bath, I pulled the shelving stuff out from there, and down in the bottom, there's a whole clean out where you could actually tap into the drain waste vent. So now I've got the ability to put in a, you know, double stacked washer dryer in that 30-30 space if I want in the future. And if you could be even, you know, have another gas range or something in that space or use it as a desk. So now I've got my computer below. Chair, functional desk. I put in a shelf above that, and I put in the big screen TV. So now I can sit in the kitchen, watch big screen TV, go over there, work on the desk. So I've got my little office space
right there.
It's just amazing.
It is great.
It sounds great, Aaron. Well, I think, you know, and he's right. I think those homes in that era were more often than not, for sure, built to last and built
they
well.
They were. Yeah, they were built to last. They were also built to be added on to. So they were built very much with the idea in mind that people were going to make modifications and they should build it sort of over structure and often do things like run a practical gas line. That's really wonderful. Congratulations on finding such a great place. I should say, houses of that era were also built with some of like the last old growth. So the timber that they were, the 2x4s that they're built with are of a higher quality that you can find today. There's a lot of wonderful features of a well-built mid-century ranch. In terms of finding access to the original plans, that's a tricky one. Unless it was designed by a name architect and you can track down that firm, the odds of finding plans for a contractor-built ranch are very low. But your best bet might be if you can track down the original owners of the house. Often they or their heirs may have access to some of the original drawings. That's usually where people have had the most luck, in my experience, of finding original drawings related to the house construction.
Yeah, and there's one other spot, I know this just from a friend's experience. Her parents had purchased a Frank Lloyd Wright home.
Oh, wow.
And this is several years back. And they were up in the attic looking around, and they found the original plans up in the attic covered with dust.
Oh, what a windfall. Yeah, you can sometimes find things in it. I found drawings and not floor plans, but building permits in a tucked away in a cupboard when I bought my house. So
yeah, and so
people do save these things.
You might want to check the attic and look around and see if you can find it. And they were lucky because there were even notes and so forth in Frank Lloyd Wright's own handwriting. So that was something else. But in this case, though, you know, those plans might be just stuck up in the attic. You never know. You can join in to 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Vern in Boyd, Wisconsin. It's your turn. Hi, Vern.
Hey, yeah, I got a couple books here you guys really like. I got a 1953 practical carpentry. He tells how the old house was rebuilt, when he had subfloors and all the other stuff, lath and plaster, the whole ball game. And then I got another book called Pre-Cut Houses, 1955. These are by popular mechanics, $1,800 and $3,800, but you had to have some, you know, a basic ability. But I got to say, there's no substitute for a cast iron tub. The other thing is, now in Milwaukee, when they built the house, they dug the roads down and they put the drainage system, you know, sewer system way down, and they put the houses up four blocks. The foundation was four blocks above the grade, so they didn't get wet on the side, the tiles and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
Asbestos tiles. But when I designed my final house in 61 when I graduated, I put a urinal in there and a drinking fountain, and people said, what are you thinking? Well, just think how much water you would have saved with urinals. Millions of gallons.
Well, you know, I've got another set of friends who have two sons, and when they built their home, they put a urinal in the boys' bathroom area, and they have never regretted it.
That's very practical.
Thanks.
I encourage people when they remodel is build your house for you, or if you're building from scratch, build it for yourself. Resale value is its own quality, but I think if you're planning to live in your house for any amount of time, you should personalize it. That's a great example.
Daniel in Rice Lake emailed that he's 21 years old when he is finding furniture for his future home. He's drawn in by the simplicity of the mid-century modern. His question is, how can he merge the simplicity and chic of mid-century fashion with the clean, light crispness of modern now?
Well, I think that there's a lot of crossover between mid-century design and contemporary, and you also don't need to be a purist about it, especially as a 21-year-old collector. Be adventurous. There's a lot of room to mix and match, and I think that mid-century vintage is very easily mixed into things that you'll find even of sort of quick quality, as in from like a Target or a similar store, but if high quality contemporary furniture as well can also be really well mixed with vintage pieces. Now isn't the time to go antiquing, of course, but hopefully we'll get back to that era again in the future.
Oh, man. John in Green Bay has something. Let's go there. Hi, John.
Hi. I was wondering if she'd encountered zoning restrictions in more upscale neighborhoods that require high-pitched roofs, and most mid-century designs have a low roof profile.
Interesting. So, in general, I work only on remodeling existing houses, and you tend to find a mid-century house in a neighborhood full of mid-century houses because they were built en masse to put whole communities of people into houses all at once. It's rare to find you don't generally find zoning restrictions that dictate roof height. The one exception would be in a historic district. There are several in Madison, for example, the University Heights area comes to mind. And they have rules about what types of materials, what types of area, what types of floor of roof pitch you can use. But they also make allowances for the original character of the house. So there are a few mid-century houses that were infilled into University Heights, and they are allowed to continue as they are because they're part of the historic fabric of the neighborhood.
Interesting. Thanks, mm-hmm. John. Appreciate it very much. Well, Stella in Sturgeon Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I'm calling in response to the woman who called earlier inquiring about making modifications to her home in order to age in place.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it's done, but I know that there are plans for ways to do this. One very useful thing is in the kitchen to make counter space so that it is convertible to be low enough to be used if you become confined to a wheelchair. And to yes. also then make sure that you plan storage that would be accessible from a wheelchair. And you had mentioned earlier bathroom doors, actually making all doors wide enough to accommodate wheelchairs.
That is true. Bathroom doors tend to be the culprit for narrowest, but yeah, making sure that all of your doors are 30 inches at a minimum and 36 inches if you want to be very cautious. Now, knocking out and replacing doorways is not a super easy thing to do, so I would only recommend it if it is a pinch point. But it's a good move.
Very, very good move. Well, you live in a mid-century home right now, Della. What projects are you working on?
Well, that's a good point. I had a number of big projects in mind, which have been somewhat furloughed by the current situation. I actually turned to a much more low technology job of turning over a bunch of my front yard from lawn into garden bed. And I had a load of mulch delivered and wheelbarrowed that all into place over the last several weeks, which was very satisfactorily mindless labor to just sort of, I need to de-stress. I'm going to go dig lawn for a while. That was great. I highly recommend people, if you need something to take your mind off your troubles, a sort of a low impact project would be garden work, which, hey, listen on Fridays for garden advice right here. And also painting, I think, is a wonderful project right now because it doesn't require a lot of skill. It's easy to change your mind about later, but it's very satisfying. I would also say now is a great time to plan for the future. We're spending so much more time in our houses than normal. And this is a great time to pay attention to what's working about your house and what isn't. Think about aging in place. Think about what it feels like to have all your kids home at once all day long, and if there are changes you would make to your house when we get back to doing bigger remodeling projects. I am a big believer in planning ahead, so now's a great time to dream.
And those, I wanted to go back and just mention too that those DIY projects that you've got, add space to your home with Nooks, I think was the title of it.
That,
and I wanted to plug that again because I think that's really worth looking at. I certainly enjoyed looking at it and reading what you've got, and kind of nice design too.
And that's, thank you for that. And I would say that I wouldn't even call that DIY. That's rearranging objects you have, furniture you have. I mean, it's a project, but I think that's something that anyone can do with any skill level. You can take the fixtures, the furniture, the lights that are in your house right now and move them slightly such that they will make you feel more cozy, more separate from other members of your household, give you a little bit of private space within one room or within several rooms. So yeah, check out that download. I've got a bunch of suggestions, and I've been, my whole podcast season, the last few weeks and the next few weeks will be focused on ideas for people who are stuck home during COVID-19.
And how do people find you?
So my podcast is Mid-Mod Remodel, and you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, et cetera. And you can find all of my resources on my website, which is midmod-midwest.com, including that download, that PDF handout of ideas for how to create nooks in your house. You can find that on my website or on the Larry Mueller Show website.
Yeah, just go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry, and you can find it there. Well, I tell you what, Della, this has been marvelous talking with you today. It was a lot of fun. I hope we have a chance to do this again.
Well, likewise. It was a thrill. Thanks so much for having me on the air.
Della Hansman, architect who has worked in custom residential design in La Crosse, Chicago, and now she's in Madison. And she specializes in mid-century homes to help homeowners upgrade their vintage houses to match their modern lives. Well, speaking of modern lives, one of the things that's going on in modern lives these days is there's a lot more baking bread going on at home. I think there's been a real resurgence to the point that people are needing a little help. And Paul Novak is coming up next to just provide that help. No yeast, no problem, Paul says. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.